It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It's California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn and Della Tofala. Dan Berger and his wife are in New Zealand for a few weeks, so Tom Simino's sitting in, and it's always a pleasure. Presenting the great Silver Oak Cellars, David Duncan is proprietor, chairman, and CEO. Nate Weiss, did I say that right?
You did.
Of course I did. Vice President of Wine Growing. Now, I'll let Tom... Oh, and by the way, Barry Herbst is here from Bottle Barn.
Thank you for the acknowledgement. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you
guys. He's a little wet, but you got in.
Yeah, I swam over here from the store.
I can't wait to talk about what you brought, and Mike will get a photo of this to put on our Facebook page so you can see this, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Guys, congratulations on being part of Silver Oak, one of the greatest iconic wineries and wine people.
Wouldn't you say here. Maybe the original cult Cabernet producer in Napa Valley?
We like to think that.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of them for sure.
Well, Tom, give us your thoughts on the years here.
Silver Oak, what was the first vintage?
1972.
72.
Yeah.
So, and that was your dad,
right?
Ray, and Justin Meyer. And they came out with their first wines and won some kind of big award down in L.A., and all of a sudden, boom, everything went crazy.
So the way it happened was Dad and Justin met the spring or summer of 1972. They made the first vintage. I love all the dot-com and immediacy of today, because what we did is we made the 72, 73, 74, 75, and 76 before we started selling the 72 and found out if anybody would like it. And so that's not the way we do business today.
No. I know. But, they used to wait four years to release their wine.
We still do. We just released our 14 Napa in 2019, so it's in the fifth year, really. But then our 1974 vintage won the gold medal at the California State Fair, probably in 79. I think it was. And in those days, you know, that was kind of before there were wine critics and all that kind of thing. So that was like getting a 100-point score, and it put us on the market, you know, and everybody's attention big time.
Yeah.
And that's when the madness sort of began.
And you know, it's funny. You know, the thing that's amazing about Silver Oak is you guys use American oak for all your Cabernet.
That's right.
And for, you know, the rest of the world, everybody's into French oak. Right, and I was talking to your dad, and he said, when we first started, we made it with American oak, and we were successful, so why would we change?
Well, Justin was really influenced as a winemaker by the great Andrei Chelichev and BV, and BV was using American oak, and a lot of vintners actually use American oak, some American oak even still today. Everybody talks about French oak because, you know, they're trying to emulate Bordeaux, but we really, Justin, as our founding winemaker, really had this idea that American oak tastes good and that we could put our Cabernet in those barrels, age it for 2 years, and then bottle age it for 2 years, you know, and we'd come out with a wine that he used to call deliciously drinkable upon release. And, you know, that's kind of what we stick to today. And we actually own our own cooperage now. So we have a cooperage. A cooperage is where you make barrels. And so we... acquired the full interest in the cooperage in Missouri in 2014. It's called the Oak Cooperage. It's my hat that I'm wearing. You can't see my hat, but I'm wearing my hat.
Yes, and, we can. It's radio.
Put that microphone closer to that hat.
And yeah. So
we have the cameras all.
Yeah, so it's a neat thing that we actually produce our own barrels. We do use a few other coopers, but. And those guys, we make them in Missouri, and it's all comes from the upper Midwest forests. And
that's
there's
unique.
Terroir to oak trees, just
that's
like there is
unique,
to grape
isn't it,
variety.
For local wineries?
Our marketing people say we're the we're the only North American winery with our own cooperage.
It's pretty unusual in the U.S., but it's actually pretty common in Europe. There's a lot of wineries in France and Spain that make their own barrels.
That way you make sure it gets dried properly and aged properly.
It's all about control.
The corners are cut.
We're control freaks.
Yeah.
Talk about the history here a little more. You delved into it, but I want to hear more. Raymond Toumier Duncan, a Colorado entrepreneur. I'm looking at the website here. And Justin Meyer, who you've mentioned a few times. Talk about the history of this whole thing.
So my dad was college friends with a guy named Jack Novak, and Jack's family ended up founding Spotswood Winery in Napa, wow, in St. Helena, and still the Novak family still carries on. And so Jack and my dad actually bought a vineyard in the Alexander Valley originally, which is called Los Amigos. There's still a sign there. It's now owned by Simi or Constellation. And but if you drive down the road there, there's still Los Amigos Vineyard. But that was the first property that my father bought. And then
this is like 69?
This was like 70.
Okay.
1970. Right. And so then in 1972, we bought the Keeg Dairy that summer. And Justin Meyer was a brother at the Christian Brothers Winery and was in training to follow a legendary winemaker there called Brother Timothy, named Brother Timothy. And Justin met this young woman named Bonnie and left the order, married Bonnie, and met my dad in about a five-month period. And so Justin said, I want to make wine. And my dad was looking for somebody to help, you know, run the vineyards because we lived in Colorado. And Justin said, I'm not that interested in, you know, growing your grapes. I want to make wine. And dad said, what do you want to do? And he said, I only want to make Cabernet, because he had been making, you know, brandy and all kinds of different varietals at Christian Brothers. He said, I only want to make Cabernet. I want to age it in American oak. And I have this long aging program in mind. And dad said, sounds great. And Justin said, well, I want to be a partner. And my dad said, hey, what do you think about being 50-50 partners? And Justin said, done.
I take that deal. You
know, that's what I would have said.
So they founded the winery together over a handshake. And they were, you know, they were just wonderful friends. And as the winery grew and, you know, the families got involved, it just was a wonderful friendship. And then, unfortunately, in the late 90s, Justin started having some health issues and ultimately decided that it would be best for his family if they sold out. And so in 2001, the Duncan family, my family, took full control of Silver Oak. And so we've been carrying on since then. And we're still wonderful friends with the Meyer family. Today, I ran home before I came here, and Bonnie sends out, she doesn't send out a Christmas card, she sends out a Valentine's Day card, and I received it in the mail today. So we're still, you know, great friends with the Meyer. Bonnie's doing great. Yeah.
And how did you get into the family biz? I mean, what were you doing?
I was an English major in college. Never thought I would be in the wine business. And then when I got out of school, I realized that I could read and write, but I wasn't too bright about anything else. And so I ended up going to business school.
You should have gotten your own radio show. It sounds a lot like me.
Own Silver Oak radio show. I think you did
it right. It's all good. So anyway, for my final project at the University of Denver, I did a they're on a quarter system. So I spent a whole 4 credit hours writing a report and building a business model for Silver Oak. And so that got me then involved in kind of what could we do and what do we do with the business and how we think about it, as opposed, you know, it really was not a hobby at that point in the early 90s, but we didn't quite know what to do with it. And so so that's how I personally got involved. And then after we bought out the Meyer family, I was actually living in Denver, and I moved out here. My dad walked into my office in Denver one day and said, what did you think about going out and running the winery? And I was like, okay. You know, when dad asks you to go run the winery, you say yes. That's the thing. So today, my brother's actually been at Silver Oak since 1986.
No kidding.
So he's the sales guy. I don't know if you know
Tim.
Yeah,
he used to call me in L.A.
You bet.
Wait,
yeah.
25 years ago.
Tim used to have all of California, and so we still sell direct in California. And so Tim is the sort of the sales guy, and I'm the money guy, and I like the growing part. I like the farming part. That's kind of where I grew up in Colorado. Yeah. So
Nate, vice president of wine growing at Silver Oak, give us your history. How did you get into all this?
Well, I'm a local guy.
Really?
Cardinal Newman High School grad.
Yeah, baby.
Not to date Nate, but he did play against Brady in high school.
Yes.
Oh, yes. The Cardinal Newman thing. We had Dave Cox, a recording of him doing play-by-play when it was Brady from, where was he?
Sarah. He went to Sarah in San Mateo.
In San Mateo, right. Anyway, okay, good.
So that'd be Tom Brady of the world champion New England Patriots?
Oh, God, I didn't mean to get you started.
Six-time world champion Tom Brady? Okay, all right, go
Mr.
ahead.
Mr. Cimino?
Knock it off. Stand down.
So I grew up in Napa County and Sonoma County. I went to Cardinal Newman High School. My dad, who's listening today, hi, Dad. He's been a winemaker since the late 60s. He started with the Mondavis back then. And so I guess kind of like David, I realized at one point I wasn't that bright. I wasn't going to play in the NBA, and I was going to have to work for a living. You know, in the wine business, you get to wear jeans to work, you get to work outside, you get to play with heavy equipment, and that all sounded pretty good to me.
So how long have you been – you took over for Daniel?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and how long has that been?
So Daniel Barron started with Silver Oak in 1994. He worked with Justin for about 7 years as sort of a transition, and he was the second winemaker. And Daniel I was fortunate enough to be hired by the Duncans in 2014. And Daniel and I worked side by side until the end of 2016.
Got it.
When he retired. Although he's still, I saw him today. He's still around. He consults for us, and he's got a lot of other interesting stuff going on as well.
Still playing mandolin?
Still playing the mandolin, yes.
Man, very cool.
Yes.
Very cool.
Much to my chagrin sometimes.
We didn't talk about this Sauvignon Blanc, which I'm telling you.
Terrific, isn't it?
That was one of the greatest Sauv Blancs I've had in a long time.
So tell us a little bit about Tumi.
So we're very proud of Tumi and especially that Sauvignon Blanc and the Pinots we're about to get into. So Tumi began in 1999. We bought a vineyard that year called Soda Canyon Ranch, and we started to make a Pomerol style Merlot based red wine that was really inspired by Daniel's time working in France. He had a little stage at a little winery in Pomerol called Chateau Petrus, where he spent a year.
Uh-huh.
And so
we have this great
friendship with Jean-Claude Barraway, who was the winemaker there for many, many, many years, and his son Olivier is the winemaker now. So that was the genesis of Tumi. Today we are the next year we acquired our first Pinot Noir vineyard just out here on West Side Road. And then we started making Sauvignon Blanc. And so today the Sauvignon Blanc is actually produced from two vineyards in Napa County that we own and two vineyards in Sonoma County that we own. And so actually our vineyard at Oakville, where we founded Silver Oak, is planted into Sauvignon Blanc because we're down there on the valley floor and it's not very good cab soil, but it makes really good.
There's a lot of Sauvignon Blanc planted through
that
people
area,
don't realize
in
that.
The river bottom.
Yeah.
And so so it's about 50% Sonoma County fruit, 50% Napa fruit, and just a, you know, delightful, really delightful wine. We were just talking to your guest that was on a few minutes ago that has the new wine bar and oysters, and we said, you got to have the Sauvignon Blanc. So
she's all ready to buy.
Yeah.
It's a perfect
yeah.
oyster wine.
Hell yeah.
The
oysters, the Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah. It's a little grassy. It's got some grapefruit.
We like to say it's the only product that we make that's in a screw cap because we want you to drink it this summer and then we'll make more next year. So
there we go. Yeah. No need to aim.
And it's $25 a bottle. It's really a great value.
Wow, that is a great, really value, great value for that Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
And what is this?
So we started in earnest with Pinot Noir. And really, our first vintage was 2002. I'd say we started figuring it out in 2007. And we've been at it now for a long time. And so we now produce a number of single vineyard wines. So the first wine that we have is from our Bien Nacido vineyard, which is a vineyard that was planted in 1972 and is owned by the Miller family. It's a large vineyard. There's a lot of producers that make Bien Nacido wines. The patriarch's name at Bien Nacido is Steve Miller, but he's not the music guy. So, but he's a wonderful, wonderful guy, and his sons are carrying on. And you want to describe a little bit of the selections we get out of that vineyard and how we make this wine?
Yeah, it's, you know, Bien Nacido's in kind of the northern tip of Santa Barbara County in the Santa Maria Valley. It's sort of on the east side of the freeway there, out in out towards Fox and Canyon, that part of the valley. And it's a really cool vineyard because part of it is still own rooted, which is really unusual for California.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, when we go down to visit, if I drive my pickup down, I've got to stop and wash my shoes off. And I can't drive my pickup onto their property. We got to take a car that they provide.
Really?
If people don't understand own rooted.
Yeah, no.
Because of phylloxera, right? Every vine has a rootstock and is grafted on top of the Pinot, on top of 3309, or whatever rootstock you happen to have. And the rootstocks are phylloxera resistant. So if it's own rooted, it's rooted. It's Cabernet. Boom. Mm-hmm. You put it in the ground, it roots up, and it's susceptible to phylloxera.
Yeah, and very few people escaped having to do that.
Right. Budding and over. Is it sandy soil? Is that why?
There is quite a bit of sand. Yeah, there's a lot of shells and things. You know, it's definitely uplifted seabed. And
right.
And then they used to be kind of isolated. There's a lot of vineyards there now.
But, so they're washing his truck and his shoes because phylloxera can travel. It's a root louse. It's like an aphid, basically.
Yeah.
So you can carry your
phylloxera. It's a social disease, as they say.
You can carry phylloxera into the vineyard. And back in the day, in late 80s, and when everybody was getting phylloxera, that's what you did. You washed your tractors. I mean, they washed everything.
We still do. I mean, it's still a big concern, not just phylloxera, but other vectors.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're still dealing with that in wine country here? Phylloxera?
We're always dealing with something.
Yeah. Well,
always,
I know.
There's always the next best.
The crazy thing is like 101-14, I've got some of my vineyard on 101-14, and I'm finding that is like susceptible, I think, to phylloxera. Maybe it's phylloxera C. I don't know.
So what does phylloxera do?
It eats the root hairs of your young roots in the soil on your vines, and the vine starves to death. That's basically it. So phylloxera is a little aphid, kind of.
It's not good for business.
And it chews.
Apparently not.
Through the young root hairs, which brings the nutrients to the vine. So you know you grow leaves, you have photosynthesis. Hopefully you ripen it and you actually make great wine.
Your listeners are learning a lot about plant physiology today.
And in case,
well, they do every week.
In case there's any confusion, the vineyard does not have phylloxera and is fabulous and makes these unbelievable pinots.
Because I washed my shoes.
Yeah, it's because of Nate.
And he's got a clean truck.
But they have
a grower.
They have a lot of old you know, being an old vineyard, they have a lot of old California selections of Pinot Noir like Mount Eden and Martini, the Martini clone, as we call it. There's something called 2A or Bodensville, depending on where you are. So it's just a really neat place. It's a distinct vineyard. The wine is distinct. It's different than everything else we make, for sure.
Cool.
It's just beautiful wine, too. This is a big boy.
Yeah.
And the vintage?
This is the 2016. So we released this, the Bienesito, last fall. We actually brought another wine that we have not released yet that we'd love to share with you guys.
Sure.
From our Last Stop vineyard. And I'll tell you a little bit about this one if we move.
Barry, you want to tell everybody a little bit about what you're thinking on this one, the 16?
Well, I was just going to say it doesn't even taste like some of its peers in Santa Barbara. Usually they're pretty distinct to me compared to what we taste up here in Russian River. But totally different. I usually get some of that sand influence from the soils there, and the wine come through really strongly with other, you know, guys closer to the coast towards Lombok and that.
Right.
This is totally different. It's denser like the pinots we get up here, probably.
Yeah.
Because of the old vines. Clones and that sort of
thing. How old are some of those vines?
They go back to 1972.
They go back to 72.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. We work with some of the, as they call them, the old, what do they call them, the old girls?
Block
old,
N, yeah.
Yeah. So they, yeah. They it's...
And they've got some X-Block down there that's commanding a lot of money. Is that the super premium? Based on the price, it must be.
Yeah, I haven't been into the X-Block, but yeah, I hear about it a lot.
Yeah, I've seen a few hundred.
We're only 12 years into our relationship with the Millers, so we're still
the X-Block.
You got to work your way up.
In a world where they can't get into the X-Block in the wine world.
No, we love those guys. So.
Opening Friday.
So the next wine we have is from the Russian River. This is we call this vineyard Last Stop, and it is also a single vineyard Pinot. This is a property, if you've ever been to Forestville, if you know where the little park is right downtown.
Of course.
This is the vineyard that's directly behind the park, and there's a sizable vineyard there.
Yeah.
And it was owned by the same family. I'll give you a little bit of the vineyard economics. The dad that purchased the vineyard in 1941 paid $25,000 for 80 acres. And I know that for a fact. And we didn't. But anyway, we acquired the property in 2014. And, Forestville was established as the end of the railroad for people coming up for both the, you know, spa stuff and the and of course the redwood going out of all those foresting days. And so we were going to call the vineyard Terminus because that's the end of a railroad, but we really thought that was kind of dark.
So we call it Last Stop, and this wine will be released, in like 3 weeks or something like that? Yeah, a couple of weeks. We haven't released it yet, so you're the first ones really to taste
it. Wow, it's delicious. Oh, it's softer, more feminine.
California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn and Della Tofala. Dan Berger and his wife in New Zealand for a few weeks. Tom Simino is filling in. We have him once a month, and he presents some amazing winemakers and wineries. Are you going to be in for the next few weeks?
Next week, I'll be in with a small producer. Okay. Be a little secret small producer we're going to bring in from Petaluma Gap.
California Wine Country. It's Silver Oak Cellars today. David Duncan and Nat Weiss from Silver Oak. Just so iconic and so amazing. We didn't let you and Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn talk about
We're going to finish up on the sister winery, Toomey, with talking a little bit about this Last Stop, which I think is great name for the this Pinot. And and the nice thing about this is it's big in a feminine sort of way. Its complexity is there. Barry, what are you thinking about that?
Yeah, I was comparing it for people that are into Burgundy, like a Volnay, which comes across very elegant on entry, but has this grip on the backside that really allows it to age it. 15 or 20 years, and I could see this wine being, in Dan's place, lay it down. Dan's not here, but I would say 10 or 15 years easy. He'd probably go 20 or 30.
Dan, lay it down, Berger.
And decanter Barry.
And I keep telling him, Dan, you and I aren't going to be alive in 25 years.
Start microwaving those wines or something.
Dan's kids are going, hey.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've got the key.
We have to give a shout out to our the young lady who's responsible for the Toomey wines, named Erin Miller. She's also a local Pinern High grad.
All right.
So, and Toomey, of course, is on West Side Road.
Yeah, we're just not even 5 minutes from downtown Healdsburg. And this Last Stop wine will be released in a few weeks. And we were just talking during the break. It's a very limited quantity wine. We make a Russian River Pinot, too, that we make a little more of, but this basically goes all to our club, and then there'll be a few bottles available at the winery.
And you do have a wine club that people can get involved, because you've got many single vineyard releases, right, at Toomey?
We'll
release seven this year with Prince Hill, I think, right?
So people who aren't hip
to
Toomey.
Who's counting, really?
Yeah, but if people aren't hip to Toomey, you should swing over there. And also you have one on Dunnewheel in Napa.
Right, in just outside of Calistoga.
Yeah.
And you can also try the Pinots there.
All right. Now, Toomey, Toomey. So you need to know that. It's silveroak.com to check out all the Silver Oak stuff. But, David, talk about the difference again. Just kind of clarify the difference between Toomey and Silver Oak.
Yeah, so Silver Oak, we found it again in 1972. We actually started Toomey when we were still partners with the Meyer family, and I like to say it was our exploration of other varietals. And so we were Silver Oak, whose life is a Cabernet. We only made Cabernet, and we stick to that today. Toomey's my grandmother's maiden name, so it really was, founded as a family venture, and it was my dad's middle name. We named our first son Connor Toomey Duncan, so... and he was
Toomey
actually born.
Continues.
He was actually born when we were still calling Toomey Duncan Cellars. We never labeled it as Duncan Cellars, but it didn't catch the name Toomey until we labeled our first wine. So today I think we really think of Toomey as another excellent wine, and we've got two separate wineries. It's not made at Silver Oak. It's made at its own the single vineyard Bordeaux wines made it at Calistoga, and then the Pinot and the Sauvignon Blanc are at Healdsburg. And they're beautiful sites. And
so, Toomey?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Barry Herbst, wine buyer from Bottle Barn. I want to get back into where you guys are all located, the tasting rooms, how people can find you. But first, Bottle Barn.
Yes.
What's the situation with Silver Oak and Toomey at Bottle Barn?
So Silver Oak is pretty straightforward. We get it. A very little bit of the Napa that just came out, I think February 1st, I believe. I think we got one case to start. We're working on them for more. And then in August, the larger release is the Alexander Valley, and we usually have that through Christmas most years. And then Toomey, we've carried Merlot, Pinot Noir in the past, and we're definitely going to be adding the Sauvignon Blanc.
Nice.
I know it's available.
Yeah.
So You'll be able to see that shortly there. And
I forgot to tell you that Barry was going to strong arm you in the parking lot.
No, it's really typical.
It's very, you know, it's very cool. He does it in the hallway.
In the hallway.
And we're a family business, so actually he needs to strong arm my nephew who has.
Right.
This is his sales territory.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Dave stays out of this messy stuff.
Yeah. Tim sells it. Tim and Matt sell it. I help Nate direct and make it.
All right. So how does everyone, besides going on the websites and, you know, becoming a member, a wine club member, whatever. Tasting rooms. Because you guys, somebody's just opened a really cool new thing.
Yeah, so right? I'll lead to that. So, you know, for our local listeners, again, we're on West Side Road, just outside Healdsburg for Toomey, and then also in Calistoga for Toomey. Of course, our founding, you know, the winery was founded in Oakville, so we're right in the middle of the valley on the Oakville Crossroad. That's actually where Silver Oak came from, because we're halfway between the Silverado Trail and Oakville.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the name came from, was Silver Oak. We just cut the words in half. And then
I never knew that.
That's where it came from.
Learned something new every day.
The exciting thing, and maybe we move to tasting our 2014 Alexander Valley Cabernet from Silver Oak, is that we a number of years ago, we bought a really historic property in the Alexander Valley that actually was owned at one time by Cyrus Alexander. It dates back to the original Mexican land grant and Captain Fitch and Cyrus Alexander.
Wow.
And, again, was owned by the same family for 56 years. And we were able to buy that vineyard. We planted it into Cabernet, and we built a new winery there. We actually have made the Alexander Valley in Sonoma County for almost 30 years, and we had our previous facility up in Geyserville. We actually sold that winery and moved. People are like, wait, you sold Silver Oak? I said, no, it's like moving houses. So we moved from our old house to a new house. And
what a new house it is.
It is fantastic. Yeah. We're so excited. So we've been very committed to our sustainability practices in the vineyard for like going on 20 years, and we also brought that to our Oakville winery. We are LEED Platinum certified at Oakville, and so when we were going to build the new winery in the Alexander Valley, we also wanted to build it at the highest level of sustainability we could achieve. And I'm really proud to say that last summer we were awarded with our LEED Platinum status for the Alexander Valley Winery too. So,
and I know Carissa Cruz is very happy with you folks.
Yes, for sure. And and so, you know, it's not really a marketing thing, or, you know, it's, I think Tim and I both, as the owners of the winery, are very committed to sustainability and, you know, our footprint on the planet. And so at the new winery, our water use, our energy use, you know, all of the materials that we used to construct the winery, all those different things were all factors that really went into our decision making. And then we also handed Nate this new facility in his first solo vintage after Dan retired. And it's a pretty good place to make cab. And we only make the Alexander Valley cab there. And I don't know, you've got two vintages under your belt now. So is it working for you?
It's
no, he's quitting right now.
Right. I've had it with you, dude.
My biggest problem is the guilt in cashing a paycheck to make wine. It's not very difficult. People really
need to go out there and take a look at that. I mean, it's stunning.
Yeah, my sister went right after it was open and was just blown away.
Yeah, it'll take your breath away. Never mind the tasting room itself, mm-hmm. but if you go into the winemaking facility, mm-hmm. I mean, and then your whole sustainable side of things, and you have like zero footprint, right, as far as...
That is the goal. We have to prove that, and we are in the process of doing that right now. So it's just outside of Healdsburg on Highway 128. If you know where the Jimtown store is,
sure.
There's the sharp 90-degree corner. You just go past that, and you
can't
miss it.
Put your blinker on.
And it's right there. And you know, we're really proud. And one of the things that I wanted to really share with our visitors was the experience in the vineyard, because, you know, as I mentioned, that's kind of where my heart is in growing the grapes and the
right.
farming side of it.
Yeah.
And so the experience, you have to walk actually 200 yards from the tasting room down to the winery if you want to visit the winery. And that gives us this opportunity to really have you in a real vineyard like we are, you know, daily, and from a winemaking standpoint, and understand, you know, what we do to grow the grapes and promote you know, ideal ripeness and really perfect flavor development and all that. And so there's it's a really unique experience in wine country.
You have to stop to watch the tractor go by.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
You know, you do farming.
Can you hop
take
on
place.
The tractor and drive it?
That's not part of the experience just
okay,
yet.
Okay, yeah. Let me know when that is the case.
Like we were talking about earlier.
We don't want you to.
If you walk down there on a day like today, you have to wipe your feet before you go back in the tasting room.
Yeah. Jackson, we wouldn't want you to fall off the tractor and hurt yourself.
Break another rib. I'm not going to sing Like a Virgin by Madonna, and that's a whole inside story.
So what do we think of this Cabernet Sauvignon?
So we're beautiful. Drinking the 2014 Alexander Valley, and you guys are the experts. What do you think?
Gentlemen.
So the American oak sticks, I can smell that American oak, and this is a 14 vintage. Mm-hmm. This is going to age. Yeah. I mean, how long? We've had some of your, at your open houses, some major aged Cabernet Sauvignons from Silver Oak. I mean, my mouth is like watering from the
yeah,
lush fruit.
Yeah, they go the distance, but drinkable now. I mean, there's nothing painful about it.
No.
Stretch, no heavy-duty tannin that, you know, sucks the enamel off your teeth. It's ready to go now and can go another 25, 30, obviously.
And the flavor of Cabernet Sauvignon. Wow. I mean,
black,
juicy.
The blackberry.
Blackberry
cherry,
some pepper. Mm. The tannins, nice drying tannins in the finish.
One of a string of really great vintages in that
area. Really was. We've been very fortunate the last few years. One of the things about that, you know, I'd have you recognize is that if you're going out wine tasting right now, you know, you're tasting 15s and really 16s in some cases at tasting rooms. So this 2014 Alex is our current release, and we won't release our 15 until August.
Until next summer, yeah.
Next summer.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is our commitment to really holding the wine and having it be drinkable upon release. And
makes for a better
You know, we forgot to talk about price. The Sauvignon Blanc, 25.
25.
And the two Pinots?
Are, I don't know, 50 and 65 for the last out.
Okay. Yeah, and 60, then the... 60,
68, yeah, sorry.
And then the Alexander Valley?
Is cap. $80 a bottle.
And the Napa we're about to taste?
Is 125.
Okay.
Yeah. Whoa.
So I know.
We're getting to the good stuff. They're all pretty good.
So you know, Tom, I mean, I love Pinot, but oh my God, Cabernet Sauvignon.
You're a cap.
Yeah.
To me, Tom, the, you know, Silver Oaks started hitting their stride about 15 to 20 years, but when we go back into the library and taste into the 80s, late 80s, early 90s right now, they're still singing.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We're going to try this heavy-duty, really cool cab that isn't inexpensive, we'll say. But let me – Barry Herbst, wine buyer from Bottle Barn. First off, what the hell is that?
This is a rosé that I brought because of Valentine's Day. One of the most amazing packages I've ever seen.
Mike, did you get a
The bottle
of
alone
this,
looks
please.
Like it's a $25, just the glass. And it's made by the people that own Landmark and Justin, the Resnick family. And it's kind of made for an upscale presentation, dry rosé. We sell it for $25, and it looks like a $50 or $60. It looks like a $200 perfume bottle.
And the flower on the top is the cork? But
the wine is solid.
Check it out on
glass.
Our face.
It's one of those glass corks, too.
Yeah. It's quite. I've never quite seen a bottle like this. And they make a Sauvignon Blanc blended with Chardonnay with a round top that's a similar shaped bottle.
And where are they again?
The fruit, I think, comes from down in Paso Robles area. They make it at Justin, I think. And it's a dry rosé, bone dry. Well, we were really impressed. We thought, you know, with this fancy package, how could it be great? And so it's like the
that
restaurant
is one
that
of
sits
the
on the ocean. The food's never good.
That's one of the fanciest packages I've ever seen.
But the goods were delivered. So
are we going to taste that or no?
Yeah, we'll have it at the end after the fancy
package. Okay.
Palate cleanser.
Barry, talk about the new deals and what's going on at Bottle Barn.
Yeah, so we continue to add wines to the online part. We're up to, I think, about 300 items online now, and we continue to grow that as we can so we can offer the free shipping. And then the store, we're right on the verge of the new 2018 rosés coming in. You know, they're already coming, even from France. I've already had a few samples, so they're not wasting any time getting them out here. And right now I think we have the Chronicle winners at the front of the store. All the gold medal, best of class, double golds that we carry. And I think the big taste.
Cloverdale was, Citrus Fair this
exactly,
weekend.
Exactly, yeah. And they're pouring at Fort Mason on Saturday.
Yeah. Saturday, yeah.
Exactly. It is California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn.
And also Della Tofola. For over 60 years, Della Tofola has been making equipment not only for the wine industry, but the beer and beverage industries. And they do it worldwide, yet they're based right here in Santa Rosa, offering high-quality equipment, experienced technicians, everything from crushers to conveyors and pumps to presses, including filters, fillers, and complete packaging solutions. We wouldn't be able to do this show every day without all that. Go to DellaTofola.us. And, Nate, they've helped you out before, right?
I've had a lot of experience with Della Tofola, yeah.
All right, very cool.
So now we're tasting the 14 Silver Oak Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon. This is kind of the... This is the top of the line for you guys, and this 14 is stunning. So tell us a little bit about how you made that one.
Well, it was a heck of a vintage. You know, it was 2012 had been a big vintage, very plush and inviting and approachable from the beginning, and 2013 was almost the opposite. It was concentrated and tight, and it took forever to come around, and 2014 was kind of right in the middle.
Denser, but just more of everything in this wine. Just the layers and layers of flavors, and just goes on.
It has a wonderful mouthfeel. Mm-hmm. Just a beautiful mouthfeel.
We're about to run out of time. Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn brought this rosé in the coolest packaging I've ever seen, including the rose thing on top. Mike put it a photo of it up on Facebook.
GNSQ is the wine.
And who are these people?
It's the owners of Justin and Landmark Wineries, the Resnick family. Just wanted to really make a statement with Rosé and Sauvignon Blanc and created this Je ne sais quoi brand, JNSQ. And it'll be prominently displayed at the front of the store for all Valentine's.
At Bottle Barn.
At Bottle Barn. And really good wine. I was impressed. A couple of you have it.
Yep.
We'll continue on after.
Yeah, well, we're running out of time, but I like this.
Yeah, even though it's not summer.
No.
It's still fitting.
But it doesn't matter anymore.
It's a little bit of summer
around beverage.
Are you guys going to do rosé?
Yeah, we'll definitely try.
Why not?
Everyone is.
We're
sticking to Napa.
Sticking
first,
to what we're good at.
Yeah.
You're going to make rosé? No, definitely not make rosé. No, but I'll drink some. Yeah.
Well, no, there you go.
We won't make it.
David Duncan and Nat Weiss from the amazing Silver Oak Cellars and Tumay. TW, because I know friends of mine have asked when you guys, we've talked about you guys, and T-O-O-M.
T-W-O-M-E-Y.
Exactly.
.com.
Check it out.
There you go.
And you can start with silveroak.com. You guys, great to have you in
thank
here.
Thank you very much.
You're so iconic.
Cheers.
The wines are amazing. Tom, thank you.
Great to be here.
We'll see you next week. Barry,
you bet.
Next week?
Yes, I think I'm good.
Okay, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.